Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
I can easily always jam to that intro music. And in the background, when you guys aren't watching backstage, I'm kind of like jam into it. But then when the camera comes on, I'm very serious. Hey, you wonderful humans. Welcome to episode 16 of Shifting the Paradigm. I'm Christina Gomez, your hostess for this next hour of adventure and UFO shenanigans, where we look and think outside the proverbial box, jump down rabbit holes, and where the red pill is actually a red tic tac. Today is going to be something, it's going to be something totally different. For the last few months, I have been periodically been asked to do an Ask Me Anything or a Q&A live stream, and I've been so reluctant to do so because, as I keep reminding people, I'm not a UFO guru or a special personality that has any significant eye-opening answers. I've also been asked if I have some like deep inside knowledge because I work for the Debrief, and I can assure you that I don't. The entire team keeps themselves to themselves with work projects until the very last minute. So, but here I am. So I wanted to make this about you. Also, not just to ask me questions, but to reveal and discuss the kinds of events that have shifted your paradigm. Let's face it, guys, we live in a mysterious world and a fantastic universe. We really do. It's incredible. And if most people can just get their noses out of their phones, even just for a few moments, there's a lot of strange things going on. Not just UFOs or ghosts or strange disappearances, but unprecedented weirdness around the world that really shifted one's paradigm. Before we get into it, I definitely want to say hi to everyone in the live chat. John, Preston, Zenza, Bill, how you doing? Jack, too much info. All of you guys, first of all, I want to say thank you that you're participating in the live chat. And we're going to make this about you. If you have any specific things that have shifted your paradigm, not just about UFOs, not just about ghosts, or as I even said, strange disappearances, but really anything that's weird or strange, we're going to be talking about it today. And let's take, for example, this last 2 weeks of the craziest and most extreme weather across most of Europe, the Middle East, and Russia. How many of you guys have seen these videos or heard news on this? Okay, there's been extreme flooding of many cities, so much rain in just a few days that would normally fall in a year. So let me break that down for you. In most locations, right, that are typical to have rain, you can get anywhere between 50 to 100 inches of rain in a year, and that's healthy and that's all good. But imagine getting that much rain in just a few days. The infrastructure in most cities seriously cannot handle it. So houses are going to get flooded. people are going to get stuck on the road, so on and so forth. And it's not just a few places. It's in a lot of locations, including London. And that would have been one of the last places I would have expected. Yes, there's a lot of rain in London, but to the point where it causes extreme flooding is pretty bizarre. You also have Belgium, Germany, Turkey, parts of the United States as well. And it's absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. And you won't really hear about this in the mainstream media, at least over here in the United States. I'm not too sure about other countries, but here in the US, you're not going to see it on the news. You really have to dig for it on YouTube or on international sites. And a great troll, I'm so happy that you brought that up about Brazil. Winter is crazy right now. Really cold for the local standards. Lots of snow in the south, not normal. And 13 Brazilian countries are getting snow when they don't usually get snow, especially in the winter. So it's, I mean, what do you guys think is truly going on with the world right now? Do you think it's global warming? Or do you think it's something darker than that? And I asked this question yesterday on Fade to Black with Jimmy Church, because it's something that I think a lot of us need to consider, to think about, but to also be in the know of what's happening around the globe, not just in the happy little town we live in or even in the happy little country we live in. I think it's so important to broaden our scope of what's happening around the globe. We need Noah's I mean, look, I'm not ready for Noah's second flood, okay? I'm not Noah's Ark, I mean. I'm not ready for it. Unless I make one as well, then maybe. But let's go ahead, and I wanted to show you guys this video. And it's from a channel that I recommend to keep up with this kind of extreme weather topic, and it's called Phobos Planet. So let me go ahead and pull it up so you guys can see some flooding happening in China. So there is that. Let's press play. I mean, take a look at this. These are like all very small clips of do you just see that car just fall out? And look at all these cars right now that are just submerged in water, and these guys are just watching this. But here's what I'm saying. What do you think? Do you think you would find some kind of like sea creatures going on here, or maybe the Loch Ness Monster? Because this water is so deep, and you're getting a year's worth of rain in just one place. Look at this. And this is happening all around the world, not just in China, even though this video is dedicated to a certain part in China. Look at that. Yeah, Tina says, that's crazy looking, all those cars just floating away. And even in parts of India, there are intense floods. And for some people, they spend a life's savings just to get a car, to be able to get from one destination to another, and they lost it all. Here in the US, we're pretty lucky that many people can afford cars or do some kind of payment plan. But in other parts of the world, it's not always that easy. So it definitely breaks my heart. Oh my gosh. Just look at that. It is crazy. Do you see that too? And there's also an instance, also an instance of a certain part in China where a tunnel flooded and 200 people died in China. That was pretty crazy. Excuse me. Hey, Zofa, how are you doing? Thank you so much for the 10 pounds. He says, ICE5 orange orb triangle remote viewed my friend, but recent shift of paradigm, discovered an order or supernatural woman in white who influence religion, pilot UFOs, and shapeshift into bovine animals. Wait, like, hold on. So you've seen this? So you discovered a supernatural woman. How did you get in contact with her? That's my question. That's pretty bizarre. Supernatural woman in white who influence religion, pilot UFOs, and shapeshift into bovine animals. How would you even classify that? I haven't heard of a being able to do all of those things, especially very specific on the fact that she pilots UFOs. That leads me to a lot of questions. Thank you so much. If you can, Zofa said, found them in records. They are connected by four colors. Tina says, looks like there's a strong current too. Looks like a river. Absolutely. I mean, again, with these floods around the world, they're getting a year's worth of rain in just a couple of days. That's for people that are going through something like this, for people that are encountering extreme or bizarre weather, that's a paradigm shift. You're seeing something that you're not used to. You have to adapt to it in a specific way, either by somehow changing your job, getting another way to go from one destination to another, having to remove water from your home if your house is flooded. It's definitely going to change your perspective on how you're going to get these things fixed. So it's not just about ghosts or UFOs or the things that you might talk about usually on this channel. It has to do with anything and everything that just kind of moves something in your brain or in your perspective to think in a different way. Hopefully that makes sense. So again, I'm asking all of you, what has shifted your paradigm now that you've seen a video like that one? And I'm going to be showing another one as well. But when I put it in that context, what have you gone through any of those before? And if so, what happened to you? Tina says, it's awful. It's life-changing. It is. It is. And you're never going to look at things the same. I've lived through a few floods in my lifetime, and it was pretty scary. It was pretty scary because you lose everything. And you just have to casually wait for the water to subside and to flow back into the ocean or the river or to whatever close body of water that you're near. I don't think that made sense what I said. But we all encounter something weird in our lifetime. Otherwise, you're not living life. If you don't have something weird in your life, then you're not living it. Let me show you this next video of the snowstorms in Brazil. Let me share my screen again. And let's look at this. Look at that. In a country that is classified to be a beautiful tropical country, at least when it's closer to the equator, you wouldn't believe that it would have snow. And in 13 cities in Brazil, you're getting snow like this. They have no idea how to handle it. They don't have the proper jackets or snow boots. They don't have chains on their cars because it's not something that they're used to getting every single year. And if this continues, it will shift these guys' paradigms on thinking, well, now I need to invest in thicker jackets. Now I need to invest in thermal clothing. And I definitely want to keep my car for 10 more years. So I'm probably going to buy chains so that my tires last longer and I don't skid and get into a car crash. I mean, look at this. I mean, sure, it might be fun to build a snowman for a day, right? But for locations that are simply not used to it, these pipes can freeze. And when the pipes freeze, you're not going to get any running water. And that, no one wants that. Look. absolutely insane. I've never been to Brazil. My mother has, obviously, being from Venezuela. She has been, and she said it was beautiful at the time in the early 80s and 90s. But for myself in particular, she never told me any stories of when it used to snow. She's like, no, never, never used to snow. Anna says, sad, we didn't design cities that could handle that much water and clean it and redistribute it. Droughts in some places, flooding in others. How I could say that is, us humans, overall, we build only for the near future, and we live in the present moment, or at least a few days in the future or a few days in the past. We don't think in locations that we live in currently. And after we've lived in these cities for a certain period of time and we understand what the weather is like, we don't compensate that thinking, well, you know what, maybe in 10 years it might flood, so let me redo all the infrastructure. We don't think that far ahead if it's a maybe, if it's a what if. So, Anna, I completely agree with you. I think we should, but overall we don't, because these are such extreme conditions that no one would even consider happening in their lifetime. Brazilian houses don't have heating systems. Gray, I didn't know that. I didn't know that was all throughout Brazil, but it is a rather warm country, so I can understand that, but still. Oof, that means they can't handle the snow. They'll be sleeping with 5-6 blankets if they have that many in their household, and hopefully try to fall asleep. I know during, this was what, a year ago, and I can't remember what hurricane it was, but I remember in Houston, at least in Texas, there was a really big power outage during the winter. I think it's probably in December, so what, like 7-8 months ago. And with the power outage and the freezing weather in Houston, right, because it's humid and that coldness goes straight through your bones, people were getting incredibly sick because they had no heating. And the hotels that did have power were completely booked, every single one of them, because people just cannot withstand to be living in such cold conditions without running water, at least, you know, hot water, right? Heating, or no blankets or amount of jackets can insulate you that much. We're just not used to it. So there is one example. Oh my goodness. Let's see what you guys are saying. Johnny B, he says, I've had some incredible vivid dreams about UFOs, but more recently, it's as if I'm looking into the lives of the first person of myself and other timelines. It's more like memories than dreams. Any thoughts? Whoa, Johnny. No, that's really cool. And I would say, you know, again, I'm no guru. I'm no special personality. I don't have any, like, incredible knowledge, but what I would say is, if you truly believe it's other timelines of yourself, pick your favorite one. Pick the timeline that you like the most and go for it. Now, if it's a bad timeline, being like, I'm not gonna have that today, and then try to swerve the other way or dream of something else. But I think that's incredibly interesting. And what many people believe is that dreams have meanings, that dreams are so much more than the subconscious mind creating a scenario. It can also be affected by your day-to-day life. If you think about something before you go to bed, it can influence your dreams. Same with fears and things of that nature. So if you truly believe it is a time, multiple timelines of yourself, that's pretty exciting. That's incredibly exciting. That's many people that know about this might hope to have at some point, so they can easily visualize what they want. Okay, let me talk about other things that I also find really interesting, like, okay, sorry. All of this weather, all of these dreams, these situations are truly strange stuff. So if I can list just a few countries that are devastated by these floods right now, I can tell you just a few right off the back of my hand, okay? You got Belgium, France, Germany, Denmark, India, Italy, Turkey, China, Indonesia, Russia, Costa Rica, and London, like I had said. These are very, very scary times for many of us because we just don't even know how to handle these situations. Sorry, my lip got itchy. I've never been so scared, LOL. Dude, me neither. Me neither. And even right just yesterday in Alaska, it had the strongest earthquake that's been recorded in 50 years. So you're getting all of these things. You're getting a little bit of everything. And then you have the volcano that's been erupting in Iceland for quite some time as well. I don't know the exact amount of time, but it's been for a while. And that's pretty freaky too. I mean, does that mean that other volcanoes are going to be erupting as much as this one is? So many things are going on. And yes, we're all excited for you know, the 180-day report, all the, you know, talking about what the mainstream media is talking about when it comes to UFOs, but let's look at everything. Let's look at everything. When it comes to UFOs, when I was growing up, the most well-known cases that got me hooked was Travis Walton, Whitley Strieber, and the Roswell crash as like not only the most famous, but the ones that I kind of grew up on. You know, like me and my dad also used to watch The Twilight Zone when I was growing up as well. And I probably said this 100 times and every place I've ever been interviewed or been on a podcast on, I always talk about The Twilight Zone. I absolutely love The Twilight Zone, but I don't really talk about these other cases like the Travis Walton, the Whitley Strieber, the Roswell crash as much as these few other ones. And how many of you guys have seen The Unexplained Mysteries? That's also a really darn good one. John, thank you so much, John. I don't tell you thank you enough for all the super chats you always help me with for almost every single live stream and being a Patreon supporter. It really means a lot to me. And I just posted on my Patreon page for Discord that I got a new webcam because of you guys, because of all of you guys that have really helped me and supported me and like have faith in me and my work. I got a new webcam because the last one I had, it had so much bad autofocus. And, you know, being Latina, we move our hands so much and then it was a mess. So I got a new one yesterday and so far I'm liking it. But what do you... Are you having any autofocus issues or does it look kind of good? So John says, great job, Christina, as usual. Let's all hope some important UFO news drops come soon so we don't lose any momentum in the disclosure movement, hopefully. I could not agree more with you, John. I couldn't agree more. It's all about getting the ball rolling. It's all about that momentum. But the beautiful thing about all of this is even though we're not getting these huge UFO drops at this point in time, a lot more people are having UFO podcasts, paranormal podcasts. Lou Elizondo is having his appearance on every single podcast that invites him. And other people are being interviewed by other UFO podcasts, and it's becoming very rich and prevalent. And even though some people might consider it as, I'm not really going to quote it exactly, but even though some people might classify it as recycling people, regardless of that, it's being talked about almost every single day, at least in our community. And our community is growing so much, guys. The UFO community, UFO Twitter, UFO YouTube, and Reddit and Discord, they're growing every single day because we're having these kinds of conversations. Of course, that doesn't mean I'm going to stop anyone from having a UFO news drop anytime soon. I'm all for it with open hands. But until then, having these conversations, asking questions, because there's no such thing as a dumb question. For some, at least for me, there's no such thing as a dumb question. And when you can ask people, you're making a big difference. Steve, oh my gosh, thank you so much. Steve says, my paradigm. In 1972, at 14 years old, I read a book called, Yup, Chariots of the Gods. The rest is history. Heck yeah, Steve. Especially for that time when the 70s, yeah, it was a more of an experimental time with the overall consciousness. But when it did come to the UFO topic, it still wasn't huge. So that's so exciting. At such a young age, you were able to read that book and hopefully you understood it. I mean, did you? Was it easy to understand at that time? And that was quite a few years ago. So how many more times have you read that book? It's so good. Facebook user says, oh, by the way, for those that are watching this on Facebook, if you allow StreamYard to have access to your Facebook, I will be able to read your name exactly. Otherwise, it's just classified as Facebook user. Just FYI on that. So Facebook user says, it's rather disturbing that those who understand the climate science are moving to NZ and Tasmania. New Zealand? Yeah, New Zealand. They say it's as little as 10 years left to fix things unless we ban fossil fuels. These are people at the top of their fields. I will tell you, I am not very knowledgeable when it comes to climate change. I know there's a lot of controversial thoughts on it. There's some kind of politics into climate change as well. So I didn't know that. I did not know that they're thinking we only have 10 years left. That's pretty insane because I can tell you for a fact, we're not going to be banning fossil fuels anytime soon. I don't think so. That's where so much money comes in. People get so many jobs. How people can get from one place to another, even though there are other means of getting from point A to point B, fossil fuels is what racks in the money for a lot. Many areas of the globe. Alien girl, so good to see you. I never get to say hi, so I wanted to say hi to you. Amy, you're so sweet. If you guys do not know Alien Girl, which I know you do because she's everywhere, go subscribe to her YouTube channel, guys. She's such a sweetheart. It's like a little smiling ray of sunshine. Go subscribe to her. And Pete from Creepy Little Book, who's also a moderator. And I have some beautiful moderators here for my channel, and I want to thank all of you firsthand. Pete being one of them, and he has a very, very stellar YouTube channel as well that he posts every day, 365 days a year, and even on the holidays. So go sub to his channel because he has some really interesting topics that he talks about every single day, and it makes me question, how does he know what to talk about every single day? I can barely do it twice a week. He says, hey, everyone. OMG, thanks for the shout out. Amy, you're adorable, of course. But a lot of the times, it's very difficult for me to interact with the live chat and to go on with my converse, like with the things that I'm talking about. So for all of you guys that always show up to all of my live streams and that really show up live, I really, really want to say thank you. I promise you do not go unnoticed. It is just very difficult for me to keep a one-track mind when I'm talking about a topic and then reading the comments and then getting all confused. Someone who is amazing at this is Pete. he can read the live chat from Creepy Little Book and then go in and talk about his topic. And I'm thinking, that's skill. I need to learn how to do that a little bit better. And for those that like the videos that I was showing about the floodings in China and the snow in Brazil, I will be sharing it in the description box once this video is over as well. So if you're interested in that to rewatch it, please go ahead and do that. So, but I will pass over the link right now, right? Because I might as well just go ahead and do that now for you. Alrighty, there you go. Tina says, Pete has the best info recall out of anyone I've ever met. Yes. Yes, I agree with you, Tina. Johnny B says, thoughts on CE5. It's a hit and miss for me, but one time I poured my feelings out to the cosmos, then saw two insanely bright objects heading towards space, and blue orbs came within a foot of me and then shot away. 2 feet from you? Wow. So CE5 is, you know, Stephen Greer meditation for contact, but this isn't anything that's new. CE5, right? If you want to label it as that, it's a very ancient practice, an ancient Vedic practice of just really intense meditation, right? Intention. So what are my thoughts on it? Look, if you want to do it, just do it, right? I do meditation, but not necessarily for contact, you know, at least in Hinduism. So I think meditation is very healthy. I think it's very good to practice so that you have a one-track mind and get things done nicely versus being scatterbrained. But doing it for contacting another being or another species, it's not my cup of tea. It's a different kind of a kettle of fish. It's all about mindfulness for me. And when it comes to mindfulness, and something that I've only really brought up on Fade to Black with Jimmy Church when I was interviewed with him, and I'll go ahead and say it for those that haven't seen it, but for me, mindfulness is incredibly important because I suffer with verbal dyslexia, along with I have a stutter as well. So meditation, when I first started when I was 17, really helped me put it on the down low and under wraps, because if I didn't, I wouldn't be able to have this conversation with you right now. I would be stuttering. I would get lost with my words. I would lose my track of thinking, and nothing I would say would make sense. But I'm learning through all of this, guys. This is a big learning curve. And I'm not against going out and trying meditation for contact. It's something I will try at some point, no doubt. But as for this point right here, right now, I'm thinking about it. It will happen someday. I'm still learning to multitask as I'm a man, LOL. Look, multitasking is not easy. Doesn't matter who you are. It's very hard. And with mindfulness, it's important to put 100% mindfulness at one task at a time. We might think that you're being slower, right? Because you're doing one thing at a time. But in reality, you're probably working as fast, if not faster, if you do one task at a time. Yo, sup, Christina? Sorry I'm late for the show. Hey, Adam, good to see you. We are just talking about, for those that are just diving in, I'm talking about what has shifted your paradigm. Not just ghosts, not just the paranormal, not just the weather, but everything you can imagine. Preston says, paradigm shift in 2013 when my 3-year-old son asked, did you bite a finger off an alien? I asked, who told you? He said, a little man that came to my room last night. He did not know about my October 73 contact with the gray, and I did bite her finger. No. Thank you, Preston, so much for the 50. I need to hear more on this story. Like, you just wrote a tiny little fragment, but now I want to hear the whole story. What happened? And why did you bite the finger of a gray? I love it. I do. That's really funny. You guys in the live chat make me laugh, and I'm so happy I'm able to interact with you guys live versus reading it after the show's over. Oh, the Vortex said, I attended a Greer sanctioned CE5 gathering and found out that their process implements the use of Hindu Vedic mantras. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's nothing new. CE5 is nothing new at all. It is Vedic practices. Q, John Q says, hola to me, Pete, Tina, and Tim. Rock on. Thank you so much. Oh my gosh. Oh, and Tina says, hey, hey, and thank you, Q, John Q. I'm happy you said thank you too. I am happy you said thank you too. Back to a little bit on Stephen Greer. If we look at it, right? Stephen Greer went and spent a considerable amount of time in India talking to sadhus, gurus, and babas. You know, he learned about meditation, learning about mantras and chants. And then he brought it back here in the United States and he said, I liked everything that I learned. I'm going to go ahead and maybe even make it a little bit more palatable for the Western minds. Because, yes, in the U.S., we are a lot more understanding when it comes to meditation, mindfulness, yoga, chanting, or mantras and things of that nature. But if you're having, I don't want to say it like this, but if you're having a white man teach you these Indian traditions, you're not really going to respect him the same way. You're going to have a lot of judgment in the back of your mind thinking, why is he teaching me this? He's not from India. So, and I'm just speculating, guys. This is not true. I don't have contact with Greer. But what I think is he took everything that he learned and he just tried to make it more understandable for the Western minds. Ancient Hindu scriptures speak of the Vimanas. You guys heard of this? It's also been mentioned in Ancient Aliens. You have blue-skinned gods, etc. The ancient history, the spiritual practices of India are insanely incredible. And they believe this just because through their meditation, through trying to tap into the things that maybe our normal eyes can't see, they're able to talk about these things, have mantras about these things of different realms, of different alien species or gods and other things of that nature. So for those that are not too familiar with ancient Hindu scriptures, I recommend it. It's not only fascinating, but it's also incredibly beautiful as well. I don't want to drink and then you guys hear me slurping. Gray Troll says, if UFOs are real, so are the Vimanas. 100%. I do not disagree with you. Fee says, Christina Gomez, what are your thoughts on Mick West and his contributions to the study of UFOs? Mick West. You know, I don't really focus on this stuff. I don't. I don't know a lot about him. I don't know what he says. If it's not about seagulls, I'm not interested. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. But I just don't have the time. I don't have the time to read what he writes as a debunker, right? Not as a skeptic, but as a debunker. Regardless of the fact that I don't focus on his stuff, that I don't have time to read it, even though a lot of people might hate Mick West because he's a debunker and not a skeptic, it's not 100% unhealthy, okay? Because I know he brings, you know, a significant... I know he brings a significant argument, okay? But there's plenty of people focused on dealing with his narrative. They're like, whoa, Mick West said this, Mick West said that, and what are your thoughts, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like I said at the very beginning of the show, I am no UFO guru, and I'm not a special personality. There's not enough hours in the day to research everything I want to research and also eat noodles 3 times a day. There's not enough time for that. But what I can say is, even though I don't focus a lot on Mick West, I think it is healthy to see other perspectives of this UFO topic. Even though I might not agree with him, even though many people don't even agree with him, to see another point to something, even if it's wrong, helps you build your argument stronger on what you believe in. That's my take on it. Hopefully that answered your question in a very roundabout way. Hopefully it did. Zofa says, Christina Gomez, there is a Vedic text where a man summons a flying palace with his mind. Also relating to those 4 colors of the woman in the white again. They are Krishna's incarnations. Well educated, my friend. I didn't know about that, nor did I place the 2 and 2 together, but that is incredibly interesting. And again, just the Hindu culture is this beautiful, and there's so many bits and pieces to it that I don't have all the time to do it all in one go. People can't handle others having a different opinion anymore. Social media and mainstream media have killed independent critical thinking. It's terrible. I agree with you. I agree. There's a lot of bickering and fighting, and it's truly too much. It's truly too much. We need more unity and critical thinking. And this is something that we're not taught in school. If we look in our middle school experience, high school experience, the only time when there's unity is when you look like everyone else, when you have the same thoughts as everyone else. Is that unity or is that something else? And when it comes to critical thinking, we don't learn in school how to do critical thinking. Look, I graduated high school in 2018, 2019, so it's still pretty fresh in the back of my mind of what high school was like. And let me tell you, it's still awful. For those that have graduated many, many years ago, high school is still terrible. Nothing has changed. If not, it's only gotten worse. But from what I remember, I was that really weird kid in high school. I'm just going to go ahead and spill my guts to you guys. So I was that really weird kid in high school. I transferred my sophomore year from a small school to a huge, huge school. And I was so scared of everyone. I'm like, I don't know who these people are. As soon as I walked in, everyone looked the same. And I was like, no, I'm in the Matrix. Everyone's wearing the exact same clothes. Everyone looked the exact same, had the same jewelry, had the same lingo, and I was terrified. I was mortified. I came from a school that was an international school, so only like maybe like 1 or 2 Americans per grade, the rest were expats. And then I jumped over to a bigger school, and everyone looked the same. They were all American, and I'm like, what's going on? And being a rebellious teenager at the time, I'm thinking, you know what? I don't want to look like any of them. So I chopped off all my hair. I got a pixie cut. I dyed it purple. And I went ahead and lived my life in the library. True story, guys. It was fun at the time. You know, it's high school. When you get into college, it's a little bit more difficult to dye your hair fun colors and still get a job. But in high school, right, your job's working at like an ice cream parlor or something. So it wasn't a big deal. But it's scary. It's scary. We have killed independence in school, in our workplace, in our society, and there is no critical thinking. We don't learn how to think for ourselves. Instead, we're force-fed history that isn't necessarily 100% correct. We don't have good presentation skills, at least in the United States. And all of our tests are, is it A, B, C, or D? And those are your options. Pick the best one. It sucks. It really does. Really, really does. Christopher says, there are so many podcasts and different points of views on UFOs today, but I feel like the people that get forgotten are the abductees and experiencers, firsthand accounts. This is a really interesting point, Chris. And I'm just going to assume, it's only going to be my assumption. And I think a big reason to why these abductees or experiencers are kind of dismissed is because, and I'm sorry to say this, but it's because they're probably not credible, okay? They don't have evidence. Now, that's not putting these people down, saying that these stories are not true, but it is very difficult to, one, even talk about your, like, if you did get abducted, right? One, it's very hard to talk about your experiences. A lot of people that have gotten abducted do not talk about it to the public. If anything, they still think it's a dream. They don't really believe it 100% real. And if they did, they don't want to talk about it because there's so much ridicule with this topic, even today, guys. Even though we've gone really far in the last 7 decades, there's still ridicule attached to this topic. And when it comes to abductees and experiencers, the ones that do come out talking about their experiences, it's hard to classify if they're credible or not. And some podcasters just don't want to take that risk. That's merely assumption, just a speculation on what I think. But it's not necessarily a good answer to why it should be that way. Let's go ahead and read what everyone is saying. Tina says, this is so cute. She says, Christina, and you probably end up being the most popular because of that pixie purple hair. Let me tell you, I was not taken seriously at that time. I'm still not taken 100% seriously today in this topic because of my age, my lack of experience being a female, so on and so forth. Of course, I do have some beautiful supporters, like everyone that's in the live chat, all of my Patreon supporters, everyone that has just really believed in me. I incredibly appreciate it. But I know if I had a pixie purple cut today, it would not fly. It would not fly one bit. Oh, we got our friend from UCR, Luis Jimenez. If you guys, I know everyone knows who he is, but if you guys don't know who he is, go subscribe to his channel. He has some insane energy, some really, really fantastic guests and co-hosts that other UFO podcasters simply don't have. So go ahead, subscribe to his channel, click the bell so that you do not miss his videos almost every single day. It's good to see you, man. We're just having a chat. And you go, you hung your hair in the library. That's funny. You guys, you make me laugh. Tina, Amy says, I was a wild teen. It's the best time to be alive. It's when you're a teenager and you can do crazy things that people would just kind of like shrug their shoulders for and like, yeah, it's fine. And then when you get older, you just can't do those things. I mean, I remember I was like, I'm in high school now. I can do whatever I want. I have my driver's license, dyed my hair purple, got a ton of piercings on my ears. Painted my nails black every single day. Guys, I mean, nothing who I am today, really. Oh, gosh. Let's talk about Communion, you know, by Whitley Strieber. Not only the book, but let's talk about the movie for a second. Christopher Walken, that played Whitley Strieber, was absolutely brilliant for the role. Do you guys agree or do you disagree? I have a special place in my heart for Christopher Walken. I like the majority of the roles that he plays in all of his movies. And I think for Communion, I could not have imagined anyone else having that role but him. I could not imagine anyone else having that role but him. Too Much Info says yes. Hopefully you're saying yes about Christopher Walken. I mean, that was a movie that really hooked me in to this whole topic. That was like, this is the movie that made me have so many questions. Because in the movie, you're seeing aliens that are not your conventional movie aliens that are like, you know, teardrop head, gray or green, and blah, 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 boring. These are like short little stubby guys. And you're thinking, am I watching a fantasy movie? Or did this really happen? And if it really happened, what the heck? What is going on? Tina says, I love me some Christopher Walken. Me too. He's awesome. I also really liked him. And this is like a comedy movie, but I also really liked him in Balls of Fury. It's a ping pong movie, but it's a comedy. And he also like really nailed that role. He also really nailed that role as well. Nothing to do with UFOs, but I just love him. He's amazing. But regardless, even though we are so fascinated by certain actors or certain people in the UFO community that we really, really want to meet because we think that they're like the most amazing people ever, someone who I place in relatively high regard told me as soon as I entered the UFO field with my face, he said, you never want to meet your heroes because you'll end up disappointed. And with that being said, when I think about Christopher Walken, I love him in the movies, but I don't know if I would want to meet him, you know, because like in your brain, he's, and whoever you like, whoever you admire, it could be absolutely anyone. In your mind, you're like, they're the most amazing person ever. And you meet them in real life and you're like, oh my gosh, she's just a normal person. This is so boring. Oh my gosh, Christina, I'm meeting her in real life. And she's just like, she's just fine, I guess. She's just normal. Because our imagination really inflates things. And it might, and it exceeds your expectations when you actually meet the person. So, I'm going all over the place today, guys, and I hope you're okay with that. So, paradigm shifts, okay? Can you imagine living on Skinwalker Ranch? Like, living there. Not just visiting, but, like, living on Skinwalker Ranch. What about all the weirdness that goes on there? I mean, the people in the TV show, okay? Like, how their lives have been turned upside down by the phenomenon there. And not even just in the TV show, but if you look at Bob Bigelow when he had the ranch at the time. All of these things. People that have visited the ranch, like that rapper guy. What's his name? Post Malone? Oops. Something like that. All of these people that have visited or even lived there. What do you think? Like, can you imagine living on Skinwalker Ranch? Do you think you would want to live on Skinwalker? If I had the choice, I would say why not? You know, right? You know what? Like, you only live once. Go big or go home. If I had to live there for 6 months or a year, let's do it. Let's go for it. Because, and I know I'm really joking about this, but in all honesty, if you're looking at the TV show, if you're looking at some of the data that has been released, a lot of incredibly bizarre things are happening. But Skinwalker Ranch is not the only place that is having these bizarre things happen. There are multiple parts around the globe where you're gonna have these hot spots of countless weird paranormal UFO sightings in just one area, not just Skinwalker Ranch. So I want to hear your thoughts on it. Would you live there at least for like 6 months or a year? Bed and breakfast. Hey, look, if you're going to give me breakfast, it better be good. At least some hash browns. At least. But apart from Skinwalker Ranch, there's also a ranch near Sedona, Arizona, you know, like the Vortex place, which is just as crazy and mysterious as Skinwalker Ranch. And they're pretty close to each other. Utah and Arizona are not necessarily very far. And this one is not as well known, but it's called Bradshaw Ranch. Also pretty interesting if you want to look that up and see what's going on there. Again, it's not as popular, there's not as much information on it, but you definitely can dig up some things that are happening there. I don't want to spoil it for you. I'll let you guys read it. Zofa says, someone should check where on the globe is opposite to Skinwalker and see if there are any paranormal reports there too. Zofa, I guess that's going to be you. You're going to be the one checking out what's the opposite side, because now I want to know. And I talked about this in the episode of Portals with Mysteries with the History with Michael Mataluni. If you guys don't know him, he's part of the Singularity Lab. Also fascinating. Go subscribe to his channel. But we talked about ley lines. And I don't know if you guys know about that, but I quickly want to read what Stefan says. And he said, did you see Lou Elizondo's interview with Terry Virts, where Lou mentions that some guys from the Navy saw a huge black something rise from the ocean? It was awesome and scary. I didn't. I did not see that interview. That sounds really exciting. That sounds incredibly exciting. When it comes to the ocean, guys, there's so much unexplored areas in the ocean. So many things that we simply don't know about. And that's why we can talk about USOs as well. When you don't know what's going on, there could be underground bases, right? Underwater bases there, or the Loch Ness Monster, and so much more. Do you read the chat? I do, Satima from Twitch. I'm starting to stream on Twitch, everyone, by the way. If you guys have a Twitch, follow me at Christina Gomez. But I do read the chat. I am reading it today especially because today is open day. Tina says, I can't think of a better place to have a base than under the ocean. I love the USO topic. Yes. Just yes to the whole thing that you said. And one of the most, one of the most educated people when it comes to USOs is Preston Dennett. And I was so lucky to have him on the show just last week. And if you guys had saw it live, got to see behind the scenes. But when it comes to the USO topic, he's definitely one of the first people that I look into. I look at his research because he definitely hits some really, really exciting and bizarre stuff that other people might not necessarily hit on as hard as he does. So the USO topic is incredibly cool. So I want I want the end game to me being able to talk about vacations on other worlds, right? Right? Imagine if we could go, if we can go anywhere on vacation or on a different world altogether. Seriously though, you know, mankind's future is out there if we do not destroy ourselves. With everything that's going on, it's going to be hard to say if we don't end up destroying ourselves. Johnny B, I hope that I answered your question in a roundabout way, but that's going to be my thing for the end game to be as far as contact, is being able to take vacations on other worlds. Because that would be awesome. Because look, we have Earth, right? We have the oceans, we have the mountains, we have the deserts, we have the rainforests. We have such beautiful parts. We're so lucky to live on Earth. But imagine if we were able to visit other planets altogether with a completely different environment, 100% different ecosystem. Like, what if the grass isn't green? What if it's a different color altogether? It would blow our mind. It would shift our paradigm to understand that life can grow differently than how it grows here on Earth. Centeno, I don't know if I said that right, but hopefully I did, says, imagine, gonna take a week off. Gonna explore Zeta Reticuli, haha. Look, I mean, with all the grays, with all the stories about the grays being like not so good, being neutral, being artificial, that would be an interesting place to visit. Like, what do you think it would look like? What I think would be there. And the question would be, do they eat noodles? And if so, do they taste good? Same with their ice cream. So that's what I want to know about. Anywhere I go on vacation, I need to make sure that their food is good. Oh, jeez. Have, you know, we talked about UFOs, we talked about the weather, but has anyone had their ship paradigm shifted with any ghost sightings? There are a lot of people that don't believe in ghosts. There are a lot of people that say, oh no, that is impossible. But for those that are in the chat, have any of you guys had an experience that like really made you believe in ghosts? Or even a close-up sighting of a UFO. We hear a lot of stories, or we see a lot of footage, right, of UFOs in the sky, but it's like really, really far away, guys. And it's like zigzaggy, and it's all over the place. But if any of you have had a close UFO sighting, or even an alien abduction, you know? And if you did, either a ghost sighting, a close UFO sighting, or an abduction, what happens? Like, who do you tell? How do you casually bring up that conversation? Being like, you call your mom and you say, oh, hey mom, so I just saw a ghost. And then what if your mom doesn't believe in ghosts? Like, how would you convince them? How would you convince them? Oh, Centeno said, I do not believe in ghosts, but had a weird experience that made me question it. Well, what made you question it? And why don't you believe in ghosts? But two questions in one. Ooh. And then you have Burgo said, lived in a haunted house as a child. Ghosts are very real. Is it scary as a kid, or like, was it normal? I know there's quite a few stories of children living in haunted houses, and they kind of make friends with these ghosts. You know, a lot of these ghosts aren't malicious towards children. How did that work for you? You tell the Ghostbusters. Absolutely paranormal. Who do you call? Always Ghostbusters. No one else, but only from the original movies. I know they're making a new version of Ghostbusters with kids. And after the last Ghostbusters, which was like a total flop, I don't know how this one's going to turn out. I'm a little bit nervous for the movie, but the originals, absolute fire. Best things I've ever seen. Oh. Oumuamua 42 says, one sighting for me. I called MUFON years ago, early 2000s. Well, now, instead of MUFON, you can just put it on our on the Discord server. If you join my Discord server, we have a section for that. Also, the Nuno Discord server, guys. For those that were a part of Nuno on July 17th, having your eyes on the skies, it's going to be a more regular event. So if you want to find other people in your state or in your country or in your city and coordinate with them, either by sharing equipment or even going to a similar location together, please join the Nuno Discord server. I will put it in the description box below so that more people can have their eyes on the skies, because we are disclosure. We are disclosure. If seeing is believing, right? If we have that kind of mentality, if seeing is believing, if we have our own experiences, we don't need anyone else to tell us what's going on out there. We are disclosure. Okay, guys, that is it for this show. Sometime in September, I will be starting a late night panelist channel show on all things fringe topics. So keep your eye out for that and make sure to subscribe to this channel and hit the bell for all notifications. Finally, if you want to help support and develop this channel with me and help my research, please check out my Patreon member page, where you can find a lot of cool perks and extras, as well as behind the scene video and photos. The link is in my Beacon page below. Okay. I do want to say a big thank you to all my Patreon supporters. As always, this is all down to your kind support. Okay, guys, time to sign off. Thanks to everyone who joined me here tonight. I do love you all. Share this video, share this channel, and please join my 24/7 Discord server. I'm serious. You're going to find at least one group that you're going to like, and there are so many other like-minded people in my Discord server. Trust me, you're going to either learn something or have a good time. And remember, keep your eyes on the skies.